Former U.S. Department of Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack is now holding the post as CEO of the U.S. Dairy Export Council. Joining us now to give us an update on what's happening with this Canadian situation as well as Mexico. First, Mr. Vilsack, let me ask, how has the transition gone from the U.S. Department of Agriculture into the U.S. Dairy Export Council? How's the transition going?
Well, it's been a great opportunity, Pam, to work for people that are among the hardest working people in all of agriculture and all of America, who are very concerned about the future of their operations and of the industry, and are very anxious to sell their product both domestically and internationally. And to be able to help these dairy farmers sell more product outside the U.S. is, I think, a great opportunity for me. I'm excited to work with these people, and I tell people it's very much like the job I had before. I go around the country talking to farmers, and I go out of the country trying to sell what it is they produce. And got back several weeks ago from Mexico, trying to calm the waters down there and make sure that we continue to preserve that important relationship. And now focus to the north on trying to open up a market that's been closed for far too long in Canada.
Yeah, talk to me about that, Mr. Vilsack, because this is obviously front and center for a lot of Wisconsin dairy farmers. You're well aware of the Grassland announcement, parting company with about 75 Wisconsin dairy farm families can't accept their milk after May 1st and can't find a home here in the United States or Wisconsin right now for that milk. What are you hearing on the situation in Canada? Perhaps you can explain to my dairy farmer listeners why this is happening.
Well, I wish I could explain it in detail. Canada has basically always had a very supply-side management program up there, which has made it difficult for us, but not impossible. But now they've developed a new classification, Class 7, and it makes it very unlikely that Canadian processors will need or use U.S. Product, ultra-filtered milk and things of that nature. And we have asked for, I have asked specifically, both verbally with Canadian officials as well as in writing, Canadian dairy officials for information as to how exactly this new classification system is going to work so that we could make an independent determination that it is compliant with international rules and regulations. To date, I have not received a single concrete response to that request for information, which raises the concern and the suspicion that indeed this is a system that is designed in part to make it more difficult for us to import into that country, and that's not the way a trade agreement relationship is supposed to work. Mm-hmm. So we are asking our federal officials to weigh in on this and to put pressure on their Canadian counterparts. We've been benefited very much from Speaker Ryan's involvement in this. He understands this issue very well and has brought it up to Prime Minister Trudeau when he met him. We're also asking governors of states to rattle the cage a little bit. I mean, we've got to bring the attention of policymakers to the concerns that we have and the impact it's going to have on these dairy farmers. It's real, and it's really unfortunate because these producers have made investments, they've made decisions, they've made plans based on this long-term relationship, and now they're essentially being told in a relatively short time it's over.
You know, we are suffering the pain right now, Mr. Vilsack, but can you perhaps put in perspective, I understand the need to talk to Mexico, but isn't Canada a far bigger market for U.S. dairy than Mexico currently?
Actually not, Pam. Mexico
potential?
Is our number one, well, potentially, yes, but our number one customer today worldwide is Mexico. We sell $1.2 billion worth of product last year. 73% of all imports that go into Mexico on dairy come from the U.S., so it is a huge market, and we wanted to make sure that we preserve that market. As there's discussions about renegotiating and restructuring NAFTA, that's all well and good. Let's preserve what's working, but then let's fix what's not, and what's not working is the Canadian system.
Let me circle back around on that. What I should have said is Canada is very much, their dairy industry, very much dependent on the United States.
Yeah, and that's the unfortunate circumstance is that the Canadians have a far easier time accessing our market than we have accessing theirs. And that's the inherent unfairness of the system that they have. And frankly, it's unfair to their consumers because their consumers pay a heck of a lot more for their dairy products up there than our consumers pay down here because there's competition for dairy.
So you've walked on both sides of this line as a federal official, trying to make things happen. And now, shall we say, more in the private sector. for the dairy farms that are listening, is there any quick potential answer? Is there any mechanism the federal government could take, our trade representative, if he ever gets there, could take to try to turn the tide on this fairly quickly?
Well, fairly quickly is somewhat difficult to define, but this is not something that's going to turn around in a week or two, that's for sure. But it is something that could be front and center when the Canadians, the U.S., and Mexican officials get together to renegotiate to discuss NAFTA. That seems to me to be the most immediate opportunity to create some sort of relief from the system and some changes that could potentially reopen markets or make them more open. If that doesn't work, then we may be compelled to take a look at other more longer-term resolution of this through the international process of the WTO. I don't think anybody wants to do that. I think the preference would be to get this thing negotiated relatively quickly so we can keep people in business.
Right. Let me ask you, I'm focusing in on one problem that's a big issue right here in southern Wisconsin. Give me your perspective, Mr. Vilsack, on what you're seeing across the United States. This issue of oversupply to our dairy processors, not having enough dairy processors, international markets that are pretty upset with the strength of the dollar. What are you hearing from other agribusiness processors across the United States, minus what's happening here in Wisconsin?
Well, you know, on the dairy side, there's obviously concern not only in Mexico and Canada, but also whether or not we'll be able to be competitive in the Asian markets, where there is a tremendous upside potential. And frankly, I think our competitors, New Zealand, the EU, have perhaps been more aggressive in some of those markets. We've seen exports grow significantly in the last 10, 15 years in dairy, which have been incredibly important, and folks did a great job. But I think now we need to take the next step in creating greater U.S. presence in some of these markets so that we're in a better position to understand what our customers want and need and how we might be able to provide through innovation and a stable and safe, secure supply of dairy products more of what they want. So I think there's a lot of upside potential. I think there's a long-term hopefulness and optimism in the industry. But short term, you know, with prices being a little bit lower than we'd like, obviously there's an issue. The spring flush in the EU, the strength of the dollar, the uncertainty of our own trade policies, pulling out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership without basically having a clear path as to what's next. All of that has created a lot of uncertainty, a lot of anxiety. Now, having said that, you know, February, the export numbers in dairy were the second best February we've ever had, only topped by 2014, which was a record year. So we're keeping our fingers crossed that we'll see more exports this year and continue to see increased export activity, which will take some of the pressure off over time.
Are you seeing any hot product category? Is there any one particular dairy area that seems to be the treat around the world, what people are looking for?
Well, obviously, American cheese. And the challenge here is to move from a commodity-based market opportunity, which we've taken advantage of, to more of a specialized focus. Dairy ingredients, there's a lot of snack food activity taking place in a number of these markets, and cheese plays an integral role. Dairy products play an integral role in creating those snacks, and that's an opportunity. Whey, of course, as we see increasing middle classes, as we see opportunities for more protein consumption, whey becomes incredibly important. And, you know, we have a great, strong domestic butter market here in the U.S., and that's basically taking care of a lot of our butter needs, but we see an increased opportunity in butter over the long haul as well.
That's former U.S. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack, now currently the CEO of the U.S. Dairy Export Council, as he said, continuing to work on trying to tear down these trade barriers with places like Canada, but also encouraging dairy farmers and those involved in the dairy industry to keep the pressure on not only state officials, but also elected federal officials as well. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.